From VOA, Press Conference USA, here is your host, Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Once again, this is your host, Carol Castiel. Our guest on this edition of the program is Jason Blazekas, a senior research fellow at the Soufan Center. That's an international strategic consulting firm based in New York City. And in accordance with the social distancing rules in place at the Voice of America and around the country due to the coronavirus, we are talking with Jason via the Zoom app from a computer in my home office. Jason, in turn, joins us from his home in Monterey, California, where he is, quote, sheltering in place. Monterey is just about 145 kilometers south of San Francisco. Jason is a terrorism expert who devises strategies to prevent terrorists from gaining access to money and publicity. He currently works as professor of practice and director of the Center on Terrorism, Extremism, and Counterterrorism at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies in Monterey. On this special edition of the program, we will be discussing the topic of disinformation and COVID-19. According to the Soufan Center, the United States is already experiencing a rise in violent white supremacy and the proliferation of anti-government groups. COVID-19 will likely serve to catalyze these groups further. Law enforcement at all levels is going to be stressed, and resources and attention that might be directed toward countering crime and terrorism will likely be diverted toward coronavirus-related issues. Jason Blazekas will talk to us about how white supremacists have taken to mainstream social media platforms and encrypted applications to spread disinformation and conspiracy theories regarding COVID-19. He will discuss how other nefarious actors such as Russia are also exploiting the coronavirus as a new opportunity to spread conspiracy theories and disinformation. Jason, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Carol. Nice to join you.
Well, Jason, before we get into the topic, I'd like you to share some of your observations in California. Give us an update on how the state is combating coronavirus and what it's like to be sheltering in place. And what does that actually mean?
So in California, where I live in Monterey County, in the city of Monterey, we were actually under a shelter in place order before Governor Newsom's order for the entire state to shelter in place. So I've been sheltering in place and practicing good social distancing, physical distancing for a little bit more than a week now. And as a professor at the Middlebury Institute, for instance, one of the consequences of that is not being able to meet with my students in person and then making all my courses go online, where I've had lectures prepared to deliver lectures and to interact with students in real time. Now we're moving and pivoting quite a few of the things that we do in academia to asynchronous learning. And that is one of the most significant consequences. In California writ large, in Monterey County, on March 24th, I just got a text message from Monterey County Emergency Services, a news source I trust coming directly from the county, that the 20th case has been identified of COVID-19 in Monterey County. So sheltering in place, trying to keep up to date with what's going on in terms of the impact here in Monterey while practicing social distancing and trying to have a routine as best I can. That's mostly what I've been doing. That and some exercise. We're allowed to be outdoors.
Jason, you've written so much about COVID-19 and disinformation. What kind of disinformation are we seeing, and where and who is it coming from?
Well, there are an assortment of actors, unfortunately, who have been spreading disinformation or misinformation over social media, encrypted platforms. Some of these are organic sources. You have people like Alex Jones from InfoWars, people like Jim Baker, a televangelist, who are trying to sell cure-alls for COVID-19, trying to profit from the crisis on one hand. On the other hand, you have China and Russia both putting forward disinformation campaigns about the true genesis of COVID-19, arguing that this disease has been created in some kind of Western lab somewhere. And then you have the radical right, the segment that I follow very carefully for the Soufan Center, a segment of the white supremacy movement, also trying to put forward conspiracies and disinformation about the genesis of COVID-19. As a basis to try to create disorientation in communities. And this is a key for disinformation. Disinformation is about creating disorientation in communities, trying to make people confused about what's going on, trying to send them false information, and then at the same time trying to offer them solutions about how to deal with this information that's being put forward. For instance, from the white supremacy community, one of the things that the community believes in is this concept of accelerationism, and that's something we've seen quite a bit being bandied about online in encrypted platforms and in social media, mainstream social media platform, whether Twitter, Facebook, etc.
So there's an assortment of groups, neo-Nazi, white supremacists, the Russians, even here in this country, these tele-evangelists, some right-wing broadcasters are promoting these ridiculous, baseless theories about the genesis of the coronavirus. And the World Health Organization is also saying that the coronavirus pandemic has become what they call an archetypal infodemic, which is another way of saying there's an overabundance of information. Some of it's accurate and some is not, rendering it very difficult to find trustworthy sources of information and reliable guidance. Talk about that phenomenon, infodemic.
The World Health Organization is exactly right. There is a spread and wealth of bad information regarding every aspect of COVID-19, ranging from here are possible cures that you're seeing online. You see within the white supremacy community, for instance, recommendations for people to drink bleach as some kind of solution to COVID-19, to immunize yourself. These are the things that WHO is talking about. Alex Jones, who I mentioned previously, was selling some kind of special toothpaste that can essentially tackle the COVID-19 before it gets to you, making you immune to it. These are the things that are of great concern to me as people try to get a sense of what is the truth. And the challenge here is some conspiracy theories, the best, unfortunately, are those that have elements and fragments of the truth, but also interspersed with significant falsehoods. So I think that's what they mean by infodemic. When WHO is talking about that, they're talking about this merger of false and true information and convoluting the information world that we live in right now. And because of physical and social distancing, people are on their computers so much more, on social media, trying to get a lay of the land. And I think that only makes things perhaps more pronounced of a challenge. And it makes infodemic kind of like a quasi-pandemic, like we're seeing with COVID-19.
Let's now turn to how the white supremacists are touting what you call this accelerationist theory during COVID-19 and trying to push these theories and exploit the actual epidemic. So once again, help us define accelerationism and why, in a sense, this is accelerating during this coronavirus pandemic.
So accelerationism is a term co-opted by the white supremacy community that's been in existence since the writings of Karl Marx, who argued that the capitalist system would accelerate to a point where it would eventually disintegrate and fall apart based on its own volition. So the thinking, this idea of accelerationism, death by essentially too quick of a spread of capitalism, then was co-opted by the white supremacy community with the idea of the forces of evil, and from the white supremacy community, the forces of evil being multilateralism, globalism, the idea of multiculturalism. These things that are spreading or accelerating through the world will lead to the world's demise. So on the one hand, you have those who support international cooperation who are creating the demise. Then on the other hand, the white supremacy community also sees it while a threat to its own existence, because they see these forces as something that is inimical to the white race, that these forces of multiculturalism, globalism are dedicated to destroy the white race and white identity. On the other hand, these communities believe that accelerationism, on the flip side, provides some kind of opportunity as well. They see this multicultural world as a problem, and they say, well, we should continue to help accelerate this thing that's happening to get people to see that this is sort of the real world, a world in which the white identity is being erased by these forces of globalism, and therefore we need to take some kind of reactionary posture to help accelerate that process. And that process would then lead to the collapse of the global multicultural order. And the best way to do that is to carry out acts of violence, or trying to encourage people to carry out acts of violence online. So since COVID-19 has become more pronounced of a threat, you see at the same time an increase in chatter amongst the white supremacy community about this theory of accelerationism.
So ultimately, they want to weaponize COVID-19 and then advocate that the white population take up arms to lead a race war that could lead to societal collapse that would then be supplanted by a new white-led order that reigns supreme. Is that right?
That's exactly right, Carol. It's about saying COVID-19 and some of the conspiracies being put forward by this community is Jews, people like George Soros are working with the Chinese government in secret to create COVID-19, that they created COVID-19 with the specific eye towards eliminating the white race. But on the other hand, they're also saying this is something that we can weaponize ourselves to use it against our enemies. And from the white supremacy community's perspective, those enemies are the federal government as manifested by, say, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and minority communities and religious groups like the Jewish community. So they are seeing it both as a conspiratorial threat to the white race, but at the same time as some kind of solution that they could leverage to try to target their enemies.
We'll have more in just a moment. You're listening to Press Conference USA on The Voice of America. Our special guest is Jason Blazekas. He's Senior Research Fellow at the Soufan Center and Professor of Practice and Director of the Center on Terrorism, Extremism, and Counterterrorism at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies. And we are coming to you courtesy of the Zoom app. Jason is sheltering in place at his home in Monterey, California, in compliance with stringent social distancing rules in that state to combat the spread of the coronavirus. And we're talking about how white supremacist groups and other conspiracy theorists are exploiting the coronavirus pandemic as an opportunity to spread their fringe philosophies and conspiracy theories. I'm Carol Castiel, and this is a reminder that our Press Conference USA podcast is available for download on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel VOA. Here's a shout out to a loyal listener and Facebook fan, John Aondowazi, who resides in the town of Akwanga in Nasarawa State, Nigeria. If you want to hear your name on the air, please write to us at pcusa@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA. Well, let me turn back to our special guest on this special edition via Zoom of Press Conference USA, Jason Blazekas. He's a senior research fellow at the Soufan Group, joining us from California. Jason, let's continue our discussion about how white supremacists are exploiting the coronavirus pandemic for their nefarious ends. Talk more about how they are weaponizing disinformation and about the possibility of potential low-scale WMD attacks. How likely might that be?
Well, they are talking about it actively via encrypted apps like Telegram, for instance, but also over mainstream social media as well, particularly on comment boards, whether they're comments on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you name it. The radical right white supremacist community certainly is talking about these things there. They're certainly talking about them on freedom boards, places like 8kun on 4chan or some of the subreddit boards as well. What they're trying to encourage is this idea of weaponizing COVID-19. It's gotten to a point where the Department of Homeland Security's Federal Protective Services did a memo about this potential threat of the white supremacy community trying to encourage people to, if they have COVID-19, to use their saliva to put it on the door handles of people, particularly in minority communities and cities, in a way to try to spread the disease in minority communities. It's these kinds of low-scale things that the white supremacist community are recommending. And some of these things have certainly caught the notice of federal law enforcement. The idea, for instance, though, of trying to weaponize and spread a weapon of mass destruction, biological toxin, in an efficient manner by the white supremacy community, though, is fairly next to impossible, I would say, and really improbable. What worries me more are kind of the more conventional-oriented threats that we've seen the white supremacy community carry out prior to the spread of COVID-19, and whether or not COVID-19, because medical services are distracted and police services are distracted with a health crisis, whether or not a bad actor could try to do something while governments, state, local, and county, and federal are trying to deal with COVID-19, say, for instance, carry out some kind of conventional arms attack. If something like that happened, I see that as more likely. I see the sort of this idea of a biological weapon being used by white supremacists through COVID-19 as more aspirational, but it's certainly something that has taken the notice of law enforcement, so we can't dismiss it either.
Are you seeing this phenomenon beyond the United States? Are we seeing the white supremacists in action in Europe and other places around the world?
We are seeing at our research center at the Middlebury Institute, where we do some research on this very topic, that fact, yes. We see the foreign language media. For instance, there is a media outlet that is called Star TV in Russia that's been producing some very problematic messages regarding the spread and the creation of the COVID-19 in some kind of Western lab. And it's interesting that that TV station is a subsidiary of the Ministry of Defense within the Russian Federation. So we are seeing that there. We've seen Chinese government officials say that COVID-19 was created again by the United States Army. Shortly after those government officials said this, the State Department called the Chinese ambassador to Washington, D.C. to say that that's very dangerous rhetoric. It needs to stop. So we are certainly seeing a spread. The Soufan Center, where I'm a senior research fellow at, just published a peace intelligence briefing on Russia, and it's becoming more interested and engaged in trying to spread disinformation regarding COVID-19. I think they see this as an ample opportunity to continue to build discord within American society. So having foreign actors spread that disinformation could have a toxic political effect in the United States. So I think it serves their own general purposes to do that. So we are seeing more of it. But just to reiterate, most of what we're seeing is coming from within, disinformation from white supremacy groups that are likely based in the United States, or those organic ideas that people are putting forward with these false cures. That's been more common.
I'm glad you brought up Russia. And I read the excellent intel brief by the Soufan Center, how Russia is exploiting the coronavirus as yet another opportunity to spread disinformation, to sow discord, to try to break up the European Union, to say that somehow the Iranian claims that the cause of the coronavirus was a biological weapon employed by the United States is true. They're in cahoots with these other bad actors spreading disinformation about the origins of the virus. And of course, as you said, it suits their purposes because they want to sow chaos among the European Union, disinformation, calling the coronavirus a hoax, and this suits their cause, which is very unfortunate. They are using their own, as you said, broadcast channels, whether radio, internet, television, to continue this propaganda. How worried are you that this will continue and it will demoralize people both in the United States and in Europe, who feel, in fact, that their leaders may have failed them in their management of the crisis?
So I think given the situation in the United States where there is such division between Republicans and Democrats, the inability to come together to try to solve the crisis, both through what can we do in the context of the economic crisis that's been attendant to the COVID-19 crisis, but also simply the idea of trying to get equipment to people in hospitals in need. You couple that with this idea then that the United States government created COVID-19, and that hits the airwaves when people are trapped at their home, when all they're doing is looking at their Facebook or Twitter accounts or going to YouTube. I think it makes for a toxic recipe. And I think the only way to really solve that challenge is for the United States to, at the state, local, federal government level, to come together to act in unison in the face of this threat. And then also be very clear and message to the American people that disinformation is on the rise. Some of it is coming from foreign actors who see it in their interest to divide America. And from the perspective of those countries, again, who are doing that, we are a perfect opportunity for them to look at. We are the perfect target in some ways to continue that disinformation campaign.
Jason Blazekas, in that regard, are you a little bit worried about disinformation and propaganda being promulgated by some of our own U.S. officials. Even Mr. Trump himself has touted some potential cures, which really aren't cures, sort of trying to calm people, but not in a way that is very productive, because we are in a crisis. And the Republican Party seems particularly susceptible to promoting disinformation in the hopes that somehow this pandemic will miraculously disappear. And how do you see that?
I will say, from my perspective, I've been disappointed with some of our senior officials' response. In some ways, I think they're playing in the hands of other governments. In the context of COVID-19, we've heard our senior officials call it the Chinese virus. They've called it the Wuhan virus. They haven't called it always COVID-19. So by calling it some kind of foreign virus, now, no question, the virus began in Wuhan, but it's a virus that affects everybody. And it wasn't a virus produced or weaponized by the Chinese government. And because of the language we've seen from our senior officials, I think we've seen in the United States, unfortunately, people in the Asian communities in the United States suffer some verbal and physical abuse. And that just creates a divide. It creates a us versus them scenario, both inside the United States, but outside the United States. And particularly when we're dealing with a pandemic, when we're under-resourced, we don't have the capability to deal with the challenge. We really need to engage in partnerships with our international allies, and at the same time, remain as a unified force in the United States, where we're not playing on these us versus them cleavages. And that is particularly dangerous, using that us versus them language, saying it's a Chinese virus, for instance, because that is the language of the white supremacy community and terrorist groups writ large. Terrorist groups in the white supremacist community generally are going to try to say, we are a community, we being white supremacists, and we are under attack by them, whoever them may be. In the context of white supremacist groups, it's going to be Jews, it's going to be people of color, it's going to be big government. So I think some of the language of our senior leaders is actually giving the white supremacy community more leverage within the communities that they're trying to operate within, to try to recruit individuals, to coax them to take violent action. And they've been successful historically with trying to create these us versus them narratives. And some of these conspiracy theories, unfortunately, have led to significant harm.
Let's return now to the threat posed by the far-right groups, neo-Nazi groups, and the fact that they have found common cause with Islamist extremists, particularly the Iranian regime, insofar as the Iranians have talked about deliberately spreading the coronavirus, as you said earlier, to Jews, police officers, and other perceived enemies to eliminate the Jewish community, as well as law enforcement. So we're seeing, obviously, a rise in anti-Semitism as a result of this coronavirus. Once again, how concerned are you that this message is resonating with people around the world, and how can we combat it?
So there are some parallels between the white supremacy community using COVID-19 as a mechanism to inspire individuals to carry out acts of violence. Just last week, in ISIS's publication, for instance, Al-Naba, the organization was saying that COVID-19 provides the organization a new opportunity to create havoc while Europe in particular is dealing with this pandemic. And ISIS, again, said, we are going to carry out attacks like we did in places like Brussels and Paris. I think ISIS and the white supremacy community share some common targets, unfortunately, and they share the notion that the pandemic can create an opening for them to carry out some acts of violence. What kind of solutions are out there to try to solve this challenge? I think there are some things that the regular citizens can do during this time. They need to avail themselves of credible news sources first and foremost. Don't get sucked into that rabbit hole of going into sort of these weird places where the white supremacist community milieu congregates. I, for instance, I mentioned when I was telling you a little bit about what I'm doing here, is I'm getting text messages from the Emergency County of Monterey services about what's going on in Monterey County. The World Health Organization has a WhatsApp system where If you dial into their WhatsApp number, they will provide you, depending on your interests, certain kind of tailored information about what's going on with respect to the spread of COVID-19. Right now, at any point in time, would I say it is incumbent upon academics and those who are inquisitive about understanding their own digital footprint to become more conversant in digital media literacy, understand better how groups like white supremacy community or governments are trying to manipulate them to do things that are inaccurate or wrong, or to try to provide bad information to them. So understanding the sources of this disinformation is critically important. And I think there have been very good work done by a number of academic centers, nonprofit groups. I would point to the Sufan Center, of course, where I work. We first started writing about COVID-19 in late January. On January 27th was the first intelligence briefing that the Sufan Center put forward. But also you have other organizations, for instance, like the General Forensic Lab produced by the Atlantic Council, producing really good information about the landscape of what's true and what's not. Bellingcat is another organization, think tank, that puts out good information regarding the spread of disinformation. So I think I would recommend to people to avail themselves of credible news sources and try to best equip themselves with these news sources as they wade into social media, and then try to limit their social media activity beyond perhaps trying to keep in touch with family and friends, because social media is a powerful, positive tool as well. And I'll just say social media is trying to do some of the right things here. When I log into Facebook, for instance, one of the first things I see is like a message from Facebook saying, here is like credible information regarding the coronavirus. I've heard that Twitter is trying to develop a central mechanism in which tweets that may reflect disinformation are flagged in orange, for instance. And I think that would be helpful for social media to do that. And I think they need to try to get those solutions out to the information landscape as quickly as possible to the citizens, because we are unsure how long this sheltering place will last. So if we're all going to be at home ingesting material, we got to make sure that we're ingesting the right material and learning about accurate information.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Twitter and Facebook are exercising their responsibilities and becoming good actors, but I'm still a little skeptical because they were the ones who were inadvertently, or maybe purposefully, I don't know, promoting some pretty nefarious messages by Russia to influence the 2016 campaign. I hope that they have changed their ways.
I hope so too, Carol. You're absolutely right to point to the sins of the past as it relates to the 2016 election and Facebook and the Cambria scandal that was attached to it. And no question there were failings there as well. I think social media is probably more alert to the sins of the past than they have been previously. You know, they were slow to respond to the ISIS threat, right? ISIS was using propaganda over their platforms left and right. They've been slower to respond to the white supremacy threat too than they could have been. So it's also incumbent upon these organizations to continue to monitor and take down content associated with the most virulent forms of this white supremacy. And again, I would say, I think we're seeing some progress. YouTube, for instance, is taking down channels left and right related to the white supremacy community. That had been historically an area where these channels would try to red pill individuals to try to enlighten them to the threat posed by a one world government, for instance. So we are seeing some incremental positive steps in Silicon Valley, which is in my own backyard here in California.
Jason Blazekas is a senior research fellow at the Sufan Center. He joins us via Zoom from his home in Monterey, California, where he is sheltering in place. Jason, thank you so much for your time, taking time to talk with us and share your terrific insights about disinformation and COVID-19.
Thank you, Carol. It was great to be on the program, and hope you stay safe and healthy.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Washington with technical assistance from Rick Pantaleo. I'm Carol Castiel, and join Rick Pantaleo next week for another coronavirus-related Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.